Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We got a hell of a guest here, my friend and yours, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We're talking about, you know, kind of where we are post George Floyd, and not George Floyd, but I mean, it was the Great Awakening, kind of, if you will. But you're talking about how a lot of the outrage, and it was all like a fad. You know, people made protesting a fad, and nothing really substantial came from it. And that's sad to say, but I think it's kind of true, you know?
Yeah, and I do want to clarify, like, I'm not talking about the folks who were, you know, out there and their,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Right, so but I am
there's
saying,
a lot
like,
of people that did a lot of good stuff.
A whole lot. A whole lot. But, yeah, you know, there's a lot of pop activism.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's totally true. And one of the unfortunate things that I think came out of that is, you know, when you ran against America's Worst Senator Ron Johnson, and he made that entire campaign color and race and fear. And, you know, sans the opinion of, what, 26,000 people, we would have made him stick to his promise of being a two-term senator. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I do think that, you know, the worst of people, you know, in terms of the underlying racism, all that kind of stuff, that's exactly what happened, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's layers. I'll let people make that argument, and I can, you know, specifically, but I can specifically point to the flood of money, right? This is the largest independent expenditure. This is the largest amount of dark money spending in the Senate race. Was outspent by $26 million.
No kidding, really.
In third party spending, $26 million came out to 26,000 votes. You know, so that is a big piece of it as well. And you know, on the other hand, you know, the governor, the outside spending for the governor, he was about $25 million up on his opponent. And this is the third party spending, so this is not irrespective of candidates and candidacy. And so that 26, 25, the $51 million gap between, you know, funding my third party, the third party operation that supported me versus the governor. And we came out to about 51,000 votes separation between myself and the numbers line up almost too perfectly. And the thing is, you know, candidate for candidate, I ended up raising a little bit more money than than Senator Johnson, but is the third party. It was and the other part about it too is like we're talking about a handful of people. We're talking about Elon and just a handful of people who put a whole lot of money that wasn't really a dent in their pockets because it's all, you know, resources, benefits that they reap because of the Trump tax law that Senator Johnson voted for.
Yeah.
Right. So that was pocket change, right? That was a little bit of the cost savings that they were able to enjoy.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. And I you know, I think about this a lot when I see Ron Johnson continuing to peddle the, you know, election denialism and tinfoil hat stuff. And it's like, oh my God. Well, you know, you said at the beginning, right, me and Senator just don't get along. It's like, I hope that we haven't heard the last from you. And I know you're doing something now. Talk about that you've, I mean, why you're so freaking busy.
Yeah, man. You know, as I tell everybody, there are a lot of folks who put a whole lot into me, put a lot into my campaign.
You're worth it, dude. You're a good dude. You're well, absolutely worth it. That money's well spent. And I mean, time and everything. You. Yeah.
I sincerely appreciate that. Not even fishing for compliments. I'm saying, but you know, like so many people showed up for me in just incredible ways. And for me to just walk away because we didn't win would feel sort of selfish.
Yeah.
You know, I know people who don't win and they end up moving, like leaving the state completely.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, if that was what this was about, then why are we even in the race?
Yeah.
But Milwaukee is home. Wisconsin is home. I made a commitment, like even getting into the race, that I would do everything I could to try to make this place better for everybody. And that commitment stands. And I said, whether I was going to run for office, whether I'm in office or not, the work still has to get done. And so since I've been out, been up to a couple things. One is Power to the Polls, Wisconsin, and we're focused on civic engagement, focused on infrequent voters. We actually were very active in Green Bay. Our organization helped flip the Green Bay City Council, and you know,
that's awesome. Oh my God.
If you need that statement validated, you can ask the mayor on that one.
No, I know. He's a friend. He's a dad. The old God. Yeah.
He will tell you as much. You know, Power to the Polls was the only outside spender
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I say too, you know, I look at what voter turnout could have been, and like, I got a lot of reasons to be frustrated and upset, but you know, I can channel that frustration into productivity. And so standing up a large scale organization that is going to focus its efforts on driving voter turnout, going back to my roots as a community organizer, is something that means a lot to me, something I want to be involved in. Another group I started actually is called Forward Together Wisconsin. And Forward Together Wisconsin is focused on primarily focused on implementation of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Nice.
So many syllables, man. But the IRA is the single biggest piece of legislation to reduce emissions and combat climate change in the history of the world. Unfortunately, a lot of folks don't know about it or how to take advantage of those resources. So forwardtogetherwi.org, you can find out how you as an individual can save money, as a business, as a nonprofit. And I've been able to marry my passions, right? Like, climate change, as I mentioned at the top of the show, was a big deal for me, still is a big deal for me, equity and sustainability. So starting this organization gives me an opportunity to continue that work. Another project also I'm involved in is called the Democracy Defense Project. And that is it's in a number of battleground states across the country. But here in Wisconsin, it is a bipartisan effort. There are four of us, two Democrats, two Republicans, and we are talking about election integrity. We just with politics panel 2 days ago. So a couple of Republicans, former Congressman Scott Klug, former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. I was in the state legislature when Van Hollen was AG.
Yeah.
Always nice enough dude. We, you know, just didn't agree on things. But now we're here and we're talking about the cause of democracy and how to instill faith in safe and secure elections that take place in Wisconsin, and lifting up our poll workers.
That's cool. And I know it's funny. My brother lives in D.C. and I'm gonna embarrass the ever loving hell out of it. You know the story because I messaged it to you, but he was he just messaged me like in the morning, frantic and all caps. He's like, "Oh my God, I almost just ran over Hot Mandela Barnes," and then. and that's what he refers you as. And so you were in DC working on stuff, and you've been in New York, and I mean, you're everywhere, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, still doing speaking engagements, right? Like, since the time I spoke at a number of state Democratic Party dinners, headed to Memphis in a couple weeks to speak there, one of their party dinners. And for the DNC, I'm going to be going to a number of state delegation breakfasts.
Oh, nice.
Giving speeches there. So,
I want to ask, because number one, where are we as a country? Should we be nervous? Should we be hopeful? Yes.
If the last 8 years have taught us anything, is to, I guess, always be not necessarily nervous, but aware. I really can't answer the question. We're going to find out where we are
right.
in the country in just less than 3 months.
Of a checkup coming up, man. You know,
I am optimistic, right? Like, I've been optimistic before though, and have been let down. At this point in 2020, if you asked me, I would have said that, you know, Biden would beat Trump by at least 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, it was a 1-point race. Mm-hmm. So less than a point. And I do feel optimistic. I feel good about things. I feel like we have a real shot here, but I don't want to get too optimistic, right? Like, I just want to make sure we're doing the work. I want to encourage others to do so and get involved as if, get involved as if we're down by a point.
Yeah. And so, you know, where I'm thrilled that Kamala Harris is at the top of the ticket. I think she's absolutely incredible, and I can't wait to see her fillet Donald Trump on national television.
Yeah.
But that's going to be sweet. But, you know, we got Tammy Baldwin. She was on the show in studio, you know, and she's it looks like up, you know, a good amount on against perennial candidate for office and California resident Eric Hovde. So that's good. And she mentioned the new maps, how that's going to be a game changer for Governor Evers.
New maps for the whole state. Certainly for a whole state. We have candidates in 97 districts this cycle. So, you know, the energy that down ballot tickets or down ballot races can generate shouldn't be understated. We got candidates who are out there running grassroots campaigns, knocking on doors. People are showing up to community events, showing up to meat raffles, showing up to whatever the event may be. I think it does the whole cause some good, because it is a presence of a candidate who is a Democrat when that may not have otherwise been the case. And I guess I forgot to mention my own PAC because that's the first thing that I did. So I did start a political action committee. It's called The Long Run. And I guess I didn't mention
that. Talk about that. Yes.
Yeah. So the PAC, not my job. I don't take a single dime from the PAC. I do not get paid by the PAC. At all. We raise money and invest those resources in candidates across the country. Certainly Tammy Baldwin, you know, we've done a lot to support her. And now that these primaries are done, we look to support our congressional candidates as well. And the goal is to support those candidates, typically who are labeled different, right? Like there was a commercial from one of the third party groups that said, it just ended by saying Mandela Barnes, different, you know, and cool. We all obviously knew what that was about. And during the debate, the first debate, you know, the moderator gave us a chance to clarify anything. And I said, well, you know, I want to talk about, you know, the commercial that ended by saying Mandela Barnes, different, but I don't want to push back on it. I want to embrace it. I think the problem is too much of our politics are the same. The homogeny of, how homogenous the U.S. Senate is the reason things don't get done for working people. The fact that we have basically a singular perspective in the United States Senate is why progress has been impeded. And I think we need more people who are different if we want things to change. And, you know, I do feel that candidates that get labeled different have a chance, and people in general who are labeled different have a chance to go on to make the biggest difference. And we want to be able to support them.
That's awesome. And I know we have, we're running up on the clock here, but I do have one question. I'd be remiss if I wouldn't ask, what's next for you? Are you going to run for something?
I'm going to tell you, like, honestly, like if the moment calls for it, yes. I am more yes than no. I'm certainly open to running, but like, do I have my sights set on something in particular? At this moment, I don't. I can honestly say, 2023 was a great year for me on so many levels.
I'm happy
This year has been great too. It's just hard to compare it to last year. And I'm getting to do the things that I care about, right? Like, it's not like I'm completely out. It's not like I'm not still engaging at a certain level, although, you know, it's not being in office, but I don't think you have to be in office to do the work.
Yeah. You can breathe a little bit, you know, and be, you know, a little more free of what you want and choose what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I do hope that some sort of an election does cross your path again, because I think you're just an incredibly genuine person, and you have a heart of service, and I thank you again for being who you are, being my friend, and everything that you've done for this community and the state. Thank you for your time, brother.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having
me. Appreciate it, buddy. You too. Thank you so much. Russian Revolution. We talked to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Thanks.